Hey everyone, and welcome back. We're diving deep today into emotional intelligence, EQ. You know, it's something we hear about a lot, but you've sent in some incredible research articles and studies, and I'm so excited to unpack it all with you.
Yeah, me too.
We're going way beyond just the basics here, looking at EQ and
Like,
relationships,
definitely.
how it affects success at work, even some tips you can use to boost your own EQ. So get
Here
ready
we
for
go.
some aha moments, guys.
I think you'll be surprised by some of the stuff we're going to uncover today. EQ is often presented in this very simple, straightforward way. Like, it's always a good thing. But like anything else,
Yeah, for
it's a
sure.
lot more to it than meets the eye.
Okay, I'm already intrigued. But before we get into all that, let's make sure we're on the same page. When we say emotional intelligence, what are we actually talking about?
Well, at its core, it's the ability to not only understand your own emotions, but to manage them well, to recognize them in other people, and use that understanding to handle social situations.
So being in tune with the emotional landscape, basically, both internally and around you. So it's not just about being like touchy-feely or overly emotional. There's a real intelligence element to it.
Absolutely, yeah. It's about harnessing that power of emotions, yours and others, to communicate better, to build stronger relationships, make good decisions. Now, all our sources really dive into these four key components of EQ, and I think it's helpful to break it down like this. What do you think?
Definitely. It provides like a framework for understanding this really complex thing. And the first one, and I'd say probably the most important one, is self-awareness.
Self-awareness. So being able to go, okay, I'm feeling stressed right now, or I'm actually more excited about this than I thought I would be. But it's more than just naming the feeling.
It is, yeah. It's about understanding why you feel that way.
What triggered it? How does it like physically feel in your body? And how does it affect what you do and the decisions you make? One of the articles had a great story about this.
Oh, yeah, the one about the CEO who realized that his impatience in meetings was coming from a place of fear of losing control, not just like, being a demanding personality, which sort of,
Which is how everyone saw it.
right, everyone assumed.
And that is self-awareness in action. Like, by understanding why he was impatient, he could figure out how to manage it. And his meetings actually became way more productive.
That makes me wonder, is there like a downside to being super self-aware? Could it
Oh, good
make
question.
you overthink things?
That's actually something researchers are looking into now.
Really?
Some studies suggest that focusing too much on yourself
Yeah.
can lead to a lot of like overthinking and even anxiety,
Yeah.
especially if you're already prone to like self-criticism.
So it's about finding that balance, being aware, but not letting your emotions totally control you.
And speaking of control, the next piece is self-management, which builds right on top of self-awareness.
Okay, so we know how we're feeling. Self-management is about what we do with it, right?
It's the ability to control your emotions, especially in tough situations. It's like having an inner thermostat. You can adjust the temperature
Oh, I like that.
of your emotional responses.
So instead of like yelling at a coworker when they miss a deadline, someone with good self-management might take a breath, acknowledge their frustration, and then address the issue calmly.
It's not about like pretending your emotions aren't there. It's about choosing how you show them and making sure they align with your goals and what you believe in.
One of the studies actually linked self-management and resilience. Can you
I
talk about
wouldn't
that a
say.
little?
So people with good self-management skills tend to be more resilient when things go wrong. They can bounce back faster because they don't let their emotions take over.
So it's not that they don't have negative emotions, they just have the
No.
tools to handle them.
They can, acknowledge the disappointment, the anger, whatever they're feeling, but they don't let those feelings get in the way of what they're trying to do.
This makes me think of mindfulness practices. Do you think those play a role?
Techniques like meditation, deep breathing can be super helpful for improving self-management.
Because it's about training your mind to be present so you can choose how you respond to emotional triggers.
Now, the third part of EQ takes us outside of ourselves. Social awareness.
Ah, social awareness.
Yeah.
This is where we see how EQ really affects our relationships, right?
Yeah, it's all about being in tune with the emotional states of the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Picking up on those little cues, you know,
right.
Body language, tone of voice, facial expressions, that might show you how someone's really feeling, even if they don't say it out loud.
So it's like being an emotional detective.
Ooh, I like that.
Right, picking up on those clues to see what's going on beneath the surface.
It's about being observant, paying attention to not just what people say, but how they say it, and even what they don't say.
Now, one of the articles talked about emotional contagion.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was fascinating. Can you explain that?
Sure. It's this phenomenon where emotions can kind of spread from person to person.
Really?
Yeah. Think about a time when you walked into a room and you could just feel the tension or the excitement or whatever. You were picking up on the collective emotions of the people there.
So emotions are contagious.
In a way, yeah.
Wow. And we can unconsciously pick up on the vibes.
Uh-huh. And that's why social awareness is so important.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not aware of it, we can get swept up in other people's emotions.
Yeah.
Which might not always be a good thing.
Right. You might find yourself like mirroring someone's negativity.
Exactly.
Without even realizing it.
But when we work on our social awareness, we can be more conscious of what's going on.
Yeah.
And choose how we respond instead of just reacting automatically.
So it helps us navigate those tricky social situations with more intention.
Exactly. And that brings us to the final piece. Relationship management. This is where it all comes together.
Okay, I'm ready to see how it all fits.
Relationship management is basically using all the other EQ skills.
Yeah.
Self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, to build and nurture strong, healthy relationships.
So it's not just about understanding emotions on their own.
Right.
It's about applying that to our interactions to create more meaningful connections.
And that involves communication, conflict resolution, empathy, trust building, all those things.
Before we get into how EQ affects our relationships, though, one of the articles mentioned that even people with high EQ can struggle in certain areas. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a really good point. EQ isn't about being perfect or having all the answers. It's a journey of learning and growing. Even someone who's naturally empathetic might struggle with being assertive, for example. Or someone who's great at self-management might have trouble reading social cues.
So it's about knowing our strengths and weaknesses and focusing on where we can improve.
Exactly. And that's where those practical tips come in.
Okay.
But before we get to those, let's dive into how these four components actually play out in relationships.
Okay. I'm all ears. Let's explore how EQ can help us build those stronger, more fulfilling connections.
You know, when we talk about EQ in relationships,
mm-hmm.
it's important to remember this isn't just about romantic relationships.
Right.
These principles work for all sorts of connections, friendships, family, even work relationships.
It's really about how we interact with everyone in our lives.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's start with communication. I think we can all agree that good communication is like crucial for any healthy relationship. But how does EQ specifically make it better?
Well, one of the main ways is through self-awareness. When you understand your own emotional state, you're better able to express your needs and feelings clearly and respectfully.
So instead of like blowing up at someone, you can say, hey, I'm feeling really stressed about this project.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we talk about how to move forward?
Yeah, and that clarity helps the other person respond better too.
It's about creating that space for open, honest dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Where both people feel heard.
Absolutely. And the other side of that is active listening.
Right.
Which is also hugely affected by EQ.
Because it's not just about saying what we think.
Right.
It's about really listening to what the other person is saying.
Yeah.
Both with their words and like their body language.
And that's where social awareness comes in. Being able to pick up on the other person's emotions helps you listen with empathy.
One of the studies mentioned this thing called reflecting back what you've heard.
Oh, yeah.
Can we talk about that?
Sure. It's basically paraphrasing what the other person has said to make sure you got it right.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple, but so powerful.
Yeah.
It shows you're really listening and trying to see things from their side.
So instead of just saying, yeah, I get it, you might say, it sounds like you're feeling frustrated because...
Exactly. And that validates their feelings.
It's amazing how something so small can make such a difference.
Absolutely. And speaking of seeing things from another perspective, let's talk about empathy.
Okay.
That's like the heart of EQ, right?
Yeah, empathy. That ability to connect with how others are feeling, even if you haven't been in the same situation. But how does that actually play out in our relationships?
Well, empathy allows us to respond to people with compassion, even when things are tough.
Mm-hmm.
It helps us see their point of view, which can really help when there's conflict.
So instead of getting defensive, you're able to acknowledge their feelings and understand where they're coming from.
Exactly. It's about putting yourself in their shoes, even if you don't agree with them.
One of the articles mentioned that empathy can be tricky for people who are already very sensitive.
Yeah, that's true. While empathy is usually a good thing, it can be challenging for those who are like super empathetic. They might take on other people's emotions too easily.
Right, like feeling overwhelmed after being around someone who's going through something really tough.
Exactly. And that's why taking care of yourself and setting boundaries is so important for those folks.
It's about recognizing your own limits.
Absolutely. So let's move on to conflict resolution. Conflict is just a part of life, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But EQ can help us deal with those disagreements in a healthier way.
Because honestly, conflict brings out the worst in some people.
Oh, yeah.
Emotions run high.
Right.
Communication breaks down.
It's a mess.
And things escalate quickly.
Yeah, but when you have EQ, you can approach conflict with more awareness and intention.
So instead of just reacting defensively or shutting down completely, you can take a step back, figure out what's going on, and try to understand the other person's side, even if it's totally different from yours.
And that's where self-management is so important. Being able to control your emotions helps you respond calmly and constructively, even when you're upset.
One of the research papers talked about using I statements during conflict. Why is that so effective?
Because I statements let you express your own feelings without blaming the other person.
Okay.
For example, instead of saying you're always late, you could say, I feel frustrated when we have to wait because it makes me feel like my time isn't respected.
So it's about owning your experience and expressing it in a way that opens up dialogue.
Exactly. And that's key for healthy conflict resolution, creating a space where both people can feel heard and respected, even if they disagree.
Speaking of respect, let's talk about trust. Trust is so important.
It is.
But it can be so fragile.
Yeah.
How does EQ help build and maintain trust?
Well, trust is built over time through actions and communication. And EQ makes both of those things better.
Right, because when you're self-aware, you're more likely to be authentic and genuine in how you interact. You're not putting on an act.
And that authenticity is huge for trust. People can tell when someone's being real.
Yeah.
And when you combine that with empathy and good communication skills, you create this really strong foundation for trust.
People feel safe opening up to you because they know you'll listen without judgment.
Exactly.
We've talked a lot about personal relationships.
Yeah.
But what about the workplace? Our sources say EQ is just as important there.
Absolutely. In fact, some studies say EQ is even more important for career success than IQ.
That's fascinating.
Oh.
Okay, so how does it work in the professional world?
Well, let's start with leadership.
Okay, so what makes someone a good leader in terms of EQ?
Leaders with high EQ create better work environments.
Okay.
They're good at inspiring and motivating their teams. Mm-hmm. They encourage collaboration and they handle conflict well.
So it's not just about being the boss.
Right.
It's about creating a culture of trust and respect.
Exactly.
Where everyone feels valued.
Leaders with high EQ are known for their people skills.
Mm-hmm.
They connect with their team on a human level, which builds loyalty and makes people want to work for them.
One of the articles talked about EQ and giving feedback.
Oh, yeah, that's important.
Can you explain that a little?
Sure. Feedback is crucial for growth, but it can be hard to do well. Leaders with high EQ give feedback that's helpful and supportive.
Right.
They focus on specific things, not personal attacks.
Yeah.
And they frame it in a way that makes people want to improve.
So it's not about making someone feel bad.
Right.
It's about helping them grow.
Exactly. And that's what good leadership is about, helping people be their best.
Now, besides leadership, how else does EQ show up at work?
Well, it's super important for teamwork.
Okay.
Teams with high EQ are more connected, collaborative, and productive.
So everyone's communicating clearly, listening to each other, working together to find solutions.
Exactly. It's a positive, productive environment. And when team members feel valued,
right,
they're more engaged in their work.
One study even linked EQ to job satisfaction.
That's right. People with strong EQ tend to be happier at work.
Interesting.
Even in tough jobs.
Why do you think that is?
Well, they're better at managing stress, handling conflict, and building good relationships with their coworkers. They also tend to find more meaning in their work.
Right.
Which definitely contributes to job satisfaction.
It's not just about the paycheck.
No.
It's about finding fulfillment.
Exactly. And EQ can really help with that. Now, before we talk about boosting EQ, there's one more thing I want to mention. The connection with therapy.
Oh, yeah. I was curious about that.
Yeah.
How can therapy help us with our EQ?
Therapy gives you a safe space to explore your emotions, your behaviors, your thought patterns.
So it's like having a personal EQ coach.
Kind of, yeah. A good therapist can help you figure out your strengths and weaknesses when it comes to EQ. And they can give you tools to work on the areas where you're struggling.
Like someone who has trouble managing their emotions might learn techniques for calming down.
Exactly. Therapy can also help you understand how past experiences might be affecting your EQ.
So it's about understanding the root causes.
Yeah.
And then learning how to deal with them in a healthy way.
Exactly. And the benefits go beyond just you.
Right.
When we improve our EQ, it affects everyone around us.
Because when we're more emotionally intelligent, we can communicate better.
Yeah.
Collaborate more effectively and empathize more easily.
It creates a more positive environment for everyone.
Now, we wouldn't be doing our job
if
we didn't talk about some practical strategies
for
boosting EQ. It's one thing to know about it.
Absolutely.
It's another to actually do something about it.
Right.
So what are some tangible steps our listeners can take to start developing their emotional intelligence?
Well, the good news is anyone can work on their EQ.
Right.
It just takes effort and practice. It's like, you know, working out a muscle.
Yeah.
The more you use it, the stronger it gets.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
And like any workout, it's important to start with the basics.
Exactly. And for EQ, that's self-awareness.
Okay. So we've talked about this a bit already.
Yeah.
But how can we actually get better at recognizing our own emotions?
One simple thing you can do is journaling.
Mm.
Spend a few minutes each day thinking about what you felt.
Yep.
What triggered certain emotions? How did you react? What physical sensations did you notice? The more you pay attention to those patterns, the better you'll be able to handle them.
It's about creating that space for self-reflection.
Exactly. You can also try paying attention to your body language.
Oh, interesting.
Our bodies often give us clues about how we're feeling even before we realize it.
Like if you notice you're clenching your jaw.
Yeah, exactly.
Or tapping your foot.
Right.
That could be a sign of anxiety or frustration.
By noticing those things, we can start to address them before they get out of control.
Now, once we have that self-awareness, how do we work on self-management?
One of the best things you can do is mindfulness.
Oh, okay.
That's about paying attention to the present moment without judgment.
This reminds me of those deep breathing exercises.
Right. Deep breathing is a great way to practice mindfulness. Mm. When you're feeling overwhelmed, take a few deep breaths and focus on how it feels. It can really help calm you down.
It's like hitting the pause button before you react.
You can also try reframing negative thoughts.
Okay.
When you find yourself getting caught up in those negative thoughts.
Yeah.
Try to challenge them. See if there's another way to look at the situation.
So instead of saying, I totally bombed that presentation.
Right.
You could say, well, there were a few things I could have done better, but I learned from it.
Exactly. It's about being kind to yourself and focusing on growth.
Now, what about social awareness?
Yeah.
We've talked about how important it is. But how do we actually get better at reading other people's emotions?
Just pay attention.
Really?
Yeah. Really observe the people around you. Watch their body language, their tone of voice, their facial expressions.
Okay.
See how their emotions change in different situations.
It's like becoming a detective of human behavior.
Exactly. You can also just ask people how they're feeling.
Oh, right.
A simple, how are you feeling about this, can go a long way.
It shows you care.
And remember, social awareness isn't just about body language. It's also about being aware of the bigger picture, cultural differences, power dynamics, social norms.
All those things affect how people interact.
Exactly. Being sensitive to those nuances can make a big difference.
And finally, relationship management.
We've
touched on some of the skills already, communication, conflict resolution. But are there any other things we can do to build stronger relationships?
One really important thing is setting boundaries.
Okay.
Being clear about your needs and what you're comfortable with and communicating that to others.
So knowing when to say yes and when to say no.
Exactly. And boundaries aren't about shutting people out.
Yeah.
They're about creating healthy relationships.
Another key thing is forgiveness.
Oh, absolutely.
Holding on to grudges just hurts everyone.
It really does. It's not always easy.
Yeah.
But forgiveness can be so freeing.
It's about letting go of the negativity.
Exactly. And that creates space for healing and growth in your relationships.
Now, as we wrap up, I think it's important to remember that EQ is a journey, not a destination.
You got it. It's not about being perfect.
Right.
It's about constantly learning and growing.
And the best part is, it not only helps us, but it also affects the people around us.
Exactly. So keep exploring and developing your EQ.
We've covered a lot today.
We have.
The four components of EQ, how it affects our relationships, our work, even some practical tips.
Yeah, but this is just the beginning. Keep learning, keep practicing.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. Until next time, stay curious.